Well, good morning and welcome to another session of the Minton Williams Ministries Wednesday morning Bible study, where we've been studying faith in the power of God. And today we're actually going to be continuing what we looked at last week as we talked about His power in me. We're going to continue that today. Let's pray as we get started this morning. Father, we thank You that we've seen power, Your power, work for our behalf. And Father, we just ask You to quicken our spirits and make it alive to the fact of who we are in our union with You. And so today we just say we open our hearts to hear what You want, so that during these days we can do those things that bring You glory. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Amen and amen. Well, last week we talked about His power in me, as I mentioned, and we've been anchored in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 through 5, but let me just read verse 5 to you today. It says that our faith should not rest on the wisdom of man, but on the what? On the power of God. And you know, most believers will say, well, I believe in God, that He's got power, but do we believe it concerning us? And every believer, every true believer, has benefited and received of the power of God, but we must just get tuned into Him so that we really recognize what has been working on our behalf. And as I said last week, this is the devil's worst fear. If half the church were to get this, he wouldn't stand a chance. We would exert authority as we've never done it before, with the confidence and trust we have in our Lord Jesus. Last week we saw that Jesus, in Luke 3, the latter verses, 21-22, was baptized by John and had the Spirit of the Lord come upon him as a dove, not literally as a dove, but it fell on him as a dove might land softly on something. And right after that, what did we see? That he was led to the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tempted. Now, that's the whole teaching there, but we're not going there today. But the question that we really want to ask is, why then? Why did the devil bombard Jesus? And we answered that question last week, because what was the difference? The anointing was upon him. He saw the anointing of God, which he recognized. He dwelt in the midst of that anointing, and certainly he recognized it. And he got worried, because a man has that. That's why I say, just think how much more he's worried that we today pick up on it. And so Jesus was tempted and tested there. He overcame him. The devil threw his best shots and couldn't, and left for a more opportune time. And then verse 14 says that Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the surrounding district. And I would say, it spread because the power was flowing. And then verses 18 in chapter 4 is when he's there ministering in his hometown, and he talks about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and enumerates the things that he's been sent to do. And basically, what is he saying? I have been anointed to do these things. And after he said that, then he closed the book, verses 20 and 21, and he sat down. And he said to them, today this is fulfilled in your eyes. And so the stage was really set. The power was there. He had sown the word of what he came to do. Faith should have arisen. It was time for something to happen. But what do we know? There was no faith there. They just made Jesus come. And, oh, that's just Joseph and Mary's son. And so no faith flowed. And what? No power flowed. Because it takes faith to see the power manifestations of the Spirit, see the anointing produce, I might say. We looked later in that session that there were people who just flocked to Jesus, just wanting to touch him because of the anointing. Luke 6, 17 through 19 says, they came to hear him, so they heard the word, and what arose? Faith. And then it says, and to be healed of their diseases. So they came expecting to hear, faith grew, they pulled from that anointing, and they were healed. And it says, it goes on to say, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were being cured. And all the multitude was trying to touch him. Why? for the power was coming from him and healing them all. Has he changed? No, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Luke 8, we see another case of where they came, of a lady came expecting, the woman with the issue of blood. And she just wanted to touch him. Why? She'd heard or she'd been told, if you touch him, healing power will flow. And so she was actually saying that. I believe it's Matthew's translation says. And so she came and drew on the anointing without asking him. She touched him and the power flowed and immediately the bleeding stopped. Glory to God. That ought to be the expectation that we have and how we're going to receive. You know, Hebrews 6:4-5, talking about believers just like you and me, says that we have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. And we mentioned last week, we've probably experienced it much more than we realize, but we just don't give credit to it. We don't think about it. We don't really put our faith in it. And we need to believe that we are receiving in it and experience it more and more. You know, 1 Corinthians 4:20 tells us that the kingdom of God just doesn't consist in words, but what? But in power. And so that's what, that's an emphatic statement. The kingdom of God exists not just in words, but in power. And so then it makes me ask the question, do I exist in the kingdom with that power flowing through me? And we all have to answer that same question. 1 Thessalonians 1:5-6, you know, we may say, is it still for us today? Well, Paul said there, talking to the Thessalonians, he said, you also became imitators of us, talking about those who had testified with signs and wonders to him and to the Lord Jesus, whom we know performed those signs and wonders. And the Father has placed that same anointing upon and in you and I. The devil, again, he doesn't want us to know it. He fears what's going to happen when we do grasp it. And so he's going to come trying to steal it from you, getting you to think about other things. You know, the same way he steals from people when the word is sown, he's going to do that. Now, today I just want to pick up, and we're going to pick up where I left off last week, looking at Romans 15, verses 18 and 19. Romans 15:18-19. Paul writing says, for I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. And then he tells us what has been accomplished through him. And he says it's resulted in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed. So the Gentiles heard the word, they're doing the word, and they're, you know, doing the deeds that the word tells them to do. Now we may say, well, how did Christ accomplish this through him? Well, let me take out the results here and just focus on going from what he's accomplished in me to verse 19. So Paul is saying, Christ has accomplished through me in the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and round about as far as Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. So how did Christ perform this in him? Certainly with words, because we know those are important. We saw that in the very first verse we looked at in this study, and again today. And what? It's been made unto us wisdom and power. And then we see today that Paul's saying this has, the results that I got was because the word became implanted in me, the anointing came upon me, and it came in the power of signs and wonders. Not in my power, but in the power of the Spirit. Now, that really sets them up for us to ask a question about it, us today. He says, until I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. So is Paul actually implying that to fully preach the gospel, he had to have power flow and see signs and wonders? Absolutely. That is what he's saying. And so we have to ask the question of us, is it true for us today? Should we expect the same thing if we're going to preach the gospel, if we're going to proclaim that good news of Jesus? And I would submit to you, yes. Now let's begin to talk about this power a little more in us. And I'm going to focus in on those words, power and in us, in a few moments, a little more in depth. Paul in Ephesians 6:10. Now, this is when he's about to introduce what? The weapons of our warfare, okay? That the spiritual armor that we're to put on, that armor which Jesus proved. And he says this, finally, my brethren. Now, finally there, I believe, means I've saved the most important thing for the last to tell you. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So there's three words there that talk about this thing, power, might, strength. The first one, it really means in the power, be strong. That means be empowered. And it has as its root the word dunamis, which is that power which makes possible. So be strong, and where is that power? In the Lord and in the power, and that word there is kratos, K-R-A-T-O-S, and it's a power to be seen or demonstrated. Fits right in with what we just talked about, doesn't it? Within the power of his might, and that's iscus or iscuous, and it's a force. It's a force that's normally thought of as not human, but godlike power. Now, I want to read you four different translations so that we can pick up what I believe the Spirit wants us to receive from this today. Amplified first. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered. How? Through your union with him. Now with Jesus, but Jesus is in the person of the Holy Spirit as well. So be empowered through our union. We just constantly have to draw on this union, who we are in him, he in us and we in him. And then it says, draw your strength from him, that strength which his boundless might provides. How do we do that? Through the anointing. Through faith in the power, faith in that anointing. The Complete Jewish Bible amplifies this concept of union. It says, finally, grow powerful in union with the Lord. And as if that's not enough, he goes on, the CJB goes on and says, in union with his mighty strength. So you need to see yourself fully in union as one. That power, that if it flows through him, it's ready to go where? In and through you as well. And we're going to talk about, you may be sitting there thinking, well, why don't I see it more? We're going to get there. Just hang on. The Weymouth translation says, in conclusion, strengthen yourselves. Oh, now let's just stop there. Strengthen ourselves. Is that beginning to imply that I play a role in this? I think so. Strengthen yourselves in the Lord. So again, stressing that union, strengthen ourselves through that union with whom we are, and we play a role in that. That's what those words implicate. And it says, and in the power which his supreme might imparts. So it's there. And as we strengthen ourselves, what do we see? It is imparted to us. Strengthen ourselves in faith, strengthen ourselves in the knowledge of what's there, strengthen ourselves in hearing him so that we have provide that vessel for it to flow through. But listen to the Passion Translation. Now, the last part of it is a little different from what we've said, but listen to what this says. Now, my beloved ones, and where does this all begin? Knowing you're loved. I have saved these most important truths for last. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union, all one word together, with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you. Oh my. Stand victorious in the force of his explosive power flowing in and through us, all from that union. So there's two questions, I believe, that we can ask ourselves from those different five different translations that we looked at of Ephesians 6:10 and talking about spiritual armor, how we are to be strong. And we're not to be strong just to get through life. We're to be strong to be able to demonstrate the Lord to people, just like we saw earlier with Paul, in the power of signs and wonders. So the first question that we have is there to be power in us? And if we believe what we've read thus far and what the word has been spoken, then the answer to that is yes, there is to be power in us. And then the second question, is there that power in us? Is it flowing through us? And for most of us, we would probably say, yes, but it's not near what we think it needs to be. Now, there may be some who say, I've never really known that there was power. That's okay. You're growing now. You've heard that. Faith is growing that it can happen. Ephesians 3:20, one of the prayers that I believe we ought to be praying in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3. And I just want to pull this one verse out. Now to him, and this is a verse we really like. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we ask or think. And don't we like to stop there? Oh, now to him who's able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all I could possibly think or imagine. But that's not the end. Then it adds, according to the power that works in us. You might say that those things happen exceeding abundantly beyond all we ask or think in proportion to the power that works in us. That's literally what according means. So whose power is in us? Jesus. Limitless power. The Holy Spirit manifesting, anointing us, empowering us to do things for Him in proportion to which it works. And so the question then is, who is controlling how much power works in us? Well, I mean, the Holy Spirit would be a good correct answer, but it's not just the Spirit. The Lord, the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are all, if I can use this term, gentlemen. They are not going to force anything upon us. We need to be the ones who desire, believe, receive, and then act on what we believe. And in doing that, what are we doing? We're controlling, we're playing a major role in this power flowing through us. I want to read you the Passion Translation for this verse in Ephesians 3:20. It starts out, never doubt God's mighty power. Now, if you don't take away anything but that, those five words, that's worth hearing today. Never doubt. Now, what happens when we doubt? We can go without. I'm not trying to be a poet, but that's exactly what happens. When we doubt, we limit God. We've seen examples. Psalm 78:41 that we've talked about in this study. So never doubt God's mighty power. And then this is the key part, to work in you and accomplish all this. If you want to meditate a verse, that's a phrase from that I would just latch on to for a week or so, maybe longer, and come back to it. I will never doubt God's mighty power to work in me. And just profess that. Mutter it. Think about it. And you can say it's because that's His will for you. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for His miraculous power constantly energizes you. Now, we've seen from the other translations that we play a role in that. We allow it. And this verse even implicates that says that. Because how did it start back? What was the first two words we read in it? Never doubt. And what does doubt do? Doubt limits. So we are that gateway, if I can say it that way. We control how wide that valve is opened up to allow His power to flow through us. And it all starts with having faith in that power. The Weiss translation, and I want to read 20, and I also want to add 21 to it. Now, the way this is written, it's more in paragraphs, and it reads well here. Now to the one who is able to do beyond all things, super abundantly beyond, and over and above those things we are asking for ourselves and considering. And listen to this next phrase. In the measure of the power which is operative in us. Now, from the very get-go of today, we saw that what? That power can be limited, but not with us, because we believe in the power. It is the Word of God has been made unto us wisdom and power. And then it adds, and this is the part I wanted to add. So that power goes above and beyond, super abundantly beyond and over and above those things, in the measure that that power is operating in us. And look at this next phrase. To Him, Jesus, be the glory. And how is that glory going to be produced? In the church, be the glory to God, in the church and in Christ Jesus, into all the generations of the ages to come. Now, does that seem to you, as it does to me, that this is saying God is glorified when that power flows through us? Well, the people wondered at what the apostles were doing. They wondered, it was a sign when Jesus did things. So yes, that same type of eye-opening, drawing them to the Lord should take place with us. And it says, into all the generations of the future. Well, how are they going to know it if they don't see it through you and I? Now, yes, the Word will tell them. And the Lord does awaken us to it, even as He's doing in this study. But, oh, if we would just be doers of the Word in that respect. Now, consider the words of Jesus in John 14, verse 13. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be what? Glorified in the Son. See that the Father wants to use you as a vessel to bring glory to Himself. Now that's going to take some faith. That's going to take some courage. And we're going to continue to build in that. Now, I said earlier, we're talking about power in me. But it's certainly not what? My power in me that I'm talking about. It is His power. The power of God in me. And just ponder for the coming days and really meditate on it. The fullness of the power of God dwelling in you. It's not a, as we said last week, a diminished amount. The potential is there. And I would say again, where He goes, where the Holy Spirit is, His power is with Him. But how can this power work without us believing? And it can't. But what do we know? You and I have been given grace. Grace which I believe enables all that God has for us to be received and acted on, to believe and operate in His powers, not just so we can say, look who I am. Look how God used me. And we do that as a testimony, but no pride. But for others to see Jesus, that's why we're doing it. And let me just encourage you, as you ponder this, begin to go back and look for events in your life where the power of God has been manifested, so that you can go back and recall and give thanks for all the things that you've seen happen. And we mentioned, I believe, last week, praying in tongues, healing of a headache, and you've got more and more that you can do. And the reason I say be thankful for it and give thanks for it is, remember how we've studied in our previous session, previous series, the more grace we receive, then the more we give thanks for it, then we receive more grace, and it just abounds and is ever increasing. Now, again, Paul prayed specifically for you and I, and I believe this power is a key part of what he was praying for. So let's look at one more verse, Ephesians 1, verse 19. Now, I'm just going to read it in the Amplified. And so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of His power in and for us. And then here starts that key where we control it, who believe. Now, you can say, well, he's just talking about in those who believe in Him. Yes, that's certainly true. But what have we seen? We have to believe that we receive all He's making available to us and we don't limit it. And then how is that demonstrated? It's demonstrated in the working of His mighty strength. Those same words that we looked at earlier, kratos, to be demonstrated, ischus, that God kind of power. So it's His power in me. Think about it from God's perspective. He's thinking, Minton, why don't you act on it? It's my power in you. It's not yours. You're not depending on yourself. And again, His power goes wherever He is. So the key is acknowledging that power working in me. Excuse me. Believing it, receiving it, acting on it, being thankful about it as He gets the glory. Remember, the people back in the apostles' days, as in Jesus' day, wanted to go touch those whom they saw the power going into and working from. So don't be surprised if they see that in you. His power in me, above and beyond or less. And I choose the more. Look at me, if you will, with 2 Corinthians 4, 6 and 7. And we're really going to focus in on 7. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, that was when the world was created, power came to do that, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Another time we've had power working in it. And then 7, but we have this treasure. What treasure? The anointing of the Holy Spirit. In earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. In other words, He wants that power to be in vessels like others have so that they know this is not something that Minton could have ever done. And then when He does, when that happens, and I yield and He produces through me, He gets the glory as we've seen. Oh, what glory dwells in this flesh of mine. The excellency, it says, of His power in me. Complete Jewish Bible with this one says, we have this treasure in clay jars. So He's likening my body as a clay jar that you can put something in, that power, so that it will be that anointing. And really, that's where we want to focus, to understand that the anointing is alive in us, so that it will be evident that such overwhelming power comes from God and not us. The Woost or Weest translation, however you say it, says, but we have this treasure in earthenware containers. Containers that are fallible. Containers that are subject to some of the conditions of this world. And even with knowing that, He's placed that power in us in order that the super excellence of His power might be from God, might be seen as from God, as the source and not from us. In verse 10, later on in 2 Corinthians 4, goes on and says that we are always carrying about in our body the dying of Jesus. Why? So that the life of Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, in whom all the power was required, God exerted more power, I believe, then than when he created the universe. And look at what? That the life of Jesus may be manifested where? In our body. The resurrected life, the light. Light is a source of power. The light of Jesus manifested in my body. So as we wrap this up, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, that union. And the life which I now live, I live in this flesh by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. Jesus Christ, the anointed one with his anointing, lives in me. And I don't live by my flesh. I live by faith in him. The anointed one with his anointing is in union with my spirit in this container, this earthenware container. Again, not in a diminished capacity. Now, I want to close by just a couple of verses that just amplifies this a little bit. James 5, verse 16, and this is in the Amplified Version. The earnest, and this is the B part of that verse, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man. So, are you righteous? If you're a believer, you must say yes. Now, you may not know it fully, but that's who you are. Look what this says. The earnest prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. Power that is dynamic in its working. So this is just saying and reinforcing to me that my prayers should be powerful. Now, what did we study and where did we read some verses from? Ephesians 6, which is about what? The armor, spiritual armor. So I want you to look at Ephesians 6, 18, and we'll just look at the A part of that verse, again from the Amplified. Now, I know a lot of people stop teaching and reading on verse 17, but I believe that verse 18 is talking about, I would like it as a lance or a spear that is part of our armor. And every time I've ever taught it, I teach this as prayer is part of it. It is the last one noted, but it is certainly one of the very most important if we're going to produce. It says, pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit or through the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. So what we need to see is this is part of the spiritual armor. This is one of the tools we have to bring about change. And so let me remind you from what the Passion Translation said in verse 10 about this. And particularly want you to remember this last line. And I'm going to put it in your notes. It'll be in there a second time. Now, my beloved ones, I have saved these most important truths for last. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious in the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you today. Now, if you believe that the helmet of salvation or the breastplate and the shield of faith is things that we ought to use today, then you cannot exclude this explosive force of prayer and the manifestation of power in our lives. You know, oh, that we might believe. His power really flows to faith as we believe, and it flows through faith, and often it's our faith mixed with others to those who need it to flow through them, to others as we believe that we are the anointed. Now, I want to encourage you, though, before you start just seeking the power, seek him. Let the words that he gives you come to bring the power. If he speaks words to you He's going to honor those words. Hebrews 1:3, again reminding us the importance of speaking words. It's how we release the power. It's by words. It's by a touch. 1:3 of Hebrews says that, talking about Jesus, He upholds all things by the word of His power. This is what we ought to do when we speak His word. Do you believe, will you believe with me that we have faith in the word that we speak? In other words, His power working through my words, that my words have power? And I'll close with just reminding you what happened to Reinhard Bonnke. The man who was coming to conduct this great revival for him, who was known for miraculous healings, was coming when Reinhard was a young evangelist and had not experienced these kind of things. He told the people, come back tomorrow and you're going to see all kind of miracles. When he went to pick him up the next day, he was packing and said, the Lord said for me to go home. The anointing is on you. You go do it. And he said, as he sought the Lord, half mad, scared, the Lord told him, my words in your mouth are just as powerful as my words in my mouth. When we speak the word of His power, He will watch over it to perform it. And we're going to continue on in this study, and there's several other key topics that we want to get through. And we're really leading this up to Easter. I didn't really plan it this way. We're leading up to the day when the Lord had used such great power to resurrect Jesus. And what an honor it would be for us to honor Him by believing that and having faith in His power, that we do the works that He's called us to. We bless you. We say, ponder these things, meditate them, and we look forward to being together with you next week.